Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Acts chapter 2, that's no surprise, but I want to preach on something for a few moments today, on something I felt like the Lord just let stand out to me, actually Wednesday night, and if you weren't here Wednesday night, that message that Jake preached was phenomenal, about wounded. It was great, but during that, I can't remember exactly what it was that came to my mind, but all of a sudden this part of this scripture came to mind. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I just want to pull from the opening verse, verse 1, for a title today. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your presence we feel today, and we are so thankful that you have poured your Spirit out on all flesh. God, we love you today. Let our ears hear what the Spirit would say. Lord, let those that have never experienced Pentecost experience it. Lord, let faith arise in this room today. And if someone needs to be filled with your Spirit, let it happen. If someone needs to be baptized in your name, let it happen. God, we're going to give you glory for all of it. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Would you clap your hands to the Lord before you're seated? Isn't God good? God is good. You may be seated. God bless you. Some of this will probably echo from the 10 o'clock service. We taught on Pentecost and how that God has always had a plan for our salvation. If you don't know what Pentecost is, it is a feast of the Lord. It is the fourth feast out of seven that Israel would observe and some still observe today. Praise God. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, God always had a plan for our salvation. And he never leaves things incomplete. The scripture tells us we can be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a work will complete it. He will finish it. God will do it. And we see that in Scripture. I mentioned this in the other service that sometimes we skip through the Old Testament, but the Old Testament paints such a lovely picture of what is coming. And, you know, we could look to Scripture in Isaiah chapter 7, and there is, and if I'm, some of these scriptures I didn't give you, brother, but I'm going to quote, I'm just going to mention them. Isaiah chapter 7, gives the prophecy that there would be a virgin that would bear a child, and his name would be called Emmanuel. And when you read forward to Matthew 21 and 23, you'll find the angel confirming these things about Mary, saying this is happening so that the prophecy would be fulfilled, that a virgin shall bring forth a child and call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. We can look at Isaiah 9 and 6 and read how that, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. And we see this every year during the holiday season of Christmas. But when you look to Luke chapter 1, you would find that there is a child born. The angels announce it and say, this night is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And you see that these things are coming to pass exactly as God said. Even Mary, when she speaks to the angel and he tells her of this birth, she says, how can this happen? I don't have a husband. I've never known a man. In other words, I'm a virgin, and this, how can I have a child? But he let her know that this would be of the Holy Ghost. And so these things were happening just as it had been written hundreds and hundreds of years prior. Revelation 13 and 8 tells us that there is a Lamb of God, a Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. John would see Jesus as he was baptizing and say, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And when Jesus stood at his judgment, he told his accusers, "To this end was I born. This had been written long ago about me. This had been prophesied, and now it is simply the scripture being fulfilled." He even mentions that when he said, "I could deliver myself from this, but then how would the scripture be fulfilled? How could the plan of God go forth if I don't go forth, if I don't drink this cup that he has given me?" All of this happens according to God's plan and God's time. It didn't happen too early. It didn't happen too late. But as Paul wrote in Galatians 4 and 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Jesus was not going to show up early. There was no pre-existent Jesus. He was begotten of the Father. And when the fullness of time was come, the Son would be here. God had all this in place, but he was not going to let him show up early. He was not going to let him be late. He had it down to the day, to the hour, to the minute. Nothing was out of God's time. Nothing was out of God's plan. To every purpose under heaven, there is a time. There is a season. We read that this morning. And so when I thought about that, about how Jesus, he couldn't come until the fullness of time, until this time was ready, till everything that had to fall into place fell in place. Do you know, for him to be born, we mentioned Ruth earlier, that Ruth had to stay with Naomi. And she had to marry Boaz if Jesus was going to be born. She was the grandmother of David. And David, and Ruth, all this is in the lineage of Christ. And so all these things, all these meetings, all these people, all these marriages, all these things happening, all these children being born, every bit of it is just line by line, precept on precept, God pointing toward the salvation that would come through Christ Jesus. And then we come to Pentecost. And it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come." Now, I mentioned this earlier, but Pentecost was first mentioned in the book of Exodus. It was a feast of harvest, the feast of weeks. It was not called Pentecost in the Old Testament. When Pentecost, the first time you read that will be Acts chapter 2, where you read about Pentecost. That means 50, because it is 50 days after Passover, after the resurrection from the dead of Christ. So now we have Pentecost. But just thinking on that, I'm sure every preacher was thinking for weeks about, well, Pentecost Sunday's coming up, and we've read these scriptures over and over again, and is there anything new? And I don't know that this is new. I don't know that maybe you've heard something preached, but just something stuck out to me was that phrase, "when it was fully come." And to me, I don't think that he was talking about on the clock, that he was talking about the time of day. I think that he was talking about this Pentecost, not today, that Pentecost that they're writing about. I think he said there's a Pentecost that is coming. From the first time he mentions it, 1,500 years later, 14 to 1,500 years later, is the day of Pentecost that we read about in Acts. That day had to fully come. Everything that had to happen before that Pentecost could be what it was going to be. Jesus would have to be born. Jesus would have to live and die. He would have to be buried. He would have to be resurrected before this day of Pentecost could do anything. But this was the Pentecost that God chose. And all those other ones meant something. Every other Pentecost, for that 1400 to 1500 years, those Feast of Weeks, those Feast of Harvest, they all stood for something. They all meant something. It was a remembrance to Israel. They were being obedient to God. But none of those had the significance of what the day of Pentecost had when it was fully come. Friend, this is still that the prophet Joel spoke about. Hello? All those observations, Pentecost had never fully come. Prophets wrote about it. Ezekiel wrote how God would put his spirit in us. Joel prophesied precisely of this Pentecost. In Joel chapter 2 and 28, it reads very familiar to Acts chapter 2. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. He said, in those days. I mentioned this before as well, but in those days. Not just one day. This day had to happen. But from that point on, it was the first day of days that God would begin to pour out his spirit. It was the first day. There had to be the first day. There had to be this Pentecost. Everything had to line up. Everything had to happen. It had to do just like he said. These prophets prophesied over it. Joel actually prophesies of this exact day. Peter quotes him on this exact day. John the Baptist spoke about this day because there would be one coming to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. In John 4, Jesus talked to a woman at the well concerning this living water that he would give to anybody who wanted it. In John 7, Jesus stood up in that great day of the feast. He stood up and he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Ghost, but it was not given yet because he was not glorified, but he's let them know it's coming. In John 14 and 26, he said, the Comforter will come, the Holy Ghost will come in my name. In John 20 and 22, he breathed on his disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. But still, it was not given, but it was all falling into line. It was filling up the glass so that it could happen. Everything, the timeline, every slot was now being filled as it got closer and closer to that day so that the day of Pentecost could fully come. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and Jesus told them, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. What about all the things they did before the day of Pentecost? That seemed pretty powerful. They were casting out devils. They were healing the sick. Seemed pretty powerful. But they didn't have the power of the Holy Ghost. They had authority in his name to do those miracles. They had all that he could give them on earth at that time. But the Holy Ghost was coming. Power to be like God. Power to live for God. Not just overcoming power. Yeah, we got the name of Jesus and we can overcome. But this Holy Ghost power was going to make us like him. It was going to bring about the spirit of adoption whereby we would cry, Abba, Father. Now are we the sons of God. Why? Because we have been filled with the Spirit. If any man have not that Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But we have the Spirit. If you've experienced Pentecost, you have the Spirit. That's why there is no there's no salvation. People love to talk about the cross. The cross had to happen, but the cross purchased our salvation. But it was activated. It was activated on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And that's the only way they could become the sons and daughters of God. That's the only way they could be like him. That's the only way that it could be written on the fleshy tables of the heart was to receive the Spirit of God. Well, I'm thankful for Pentecost today. I'm thankful for what he's done. And I'm thankful that Pentecost has fully come. All these writings, prophecies, teachings were all leading up to the day that the day of Pentecost, when Pentecost, that feast, would fully come. Everyone before then was good. It was right in its season, but it lacked the outpouring of God's Spirit. And then the Pentecost that we know and read about, it did come. It came fully. You know what that means? It fully came. Nothing else needs to be added to it. Why has the world tried to create new doctrine, new salvation? Why don't they just obey what the first century church obeyed? Because it fully came. It doesn't need anything else. We're not waiting on something else except getting out of here. We're waiting on that call home. But there is no addendum that needed to be added for salvation. Salvation is in the book. It's in John chapter 3 that we must be born again, born of water and the Spirit. It's obeyed and activated in Acts chapter 2, where they're baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Friend, let me tell you, when God did it, He did it completely. The day of Pentecost was fully come, and now access into the kingdom of God was being granted. The doors were opened. Everything that Jesus came to do, everything that He said He was going to do, was now a reality. It wasn't in parables. It wasn't in some kind of story. It wasn't hidden in the shadows anymore, but it was open, and it was here, and it was available to whosoever will, let him come. I'm glad today that we're not still waiting. I'm sure that those patriarchs that loved God thought, well, we've got a good life. God's good to us. But friend, they don't know what we know. They don't know what it's like to be filled with the Spirit of God. They don't know what it's like to have the blood applied and not having to go back and offer sacrifice year after year after year. But the day of Pentecost had fully come, and it fulfilled all the things. When Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. That's what He's talking about. When He came and dwelt inside of us, when they were filled with His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Friend, now the law was written upon the fleshy tables of the heart. We could keep God's ordinances. We can keep God's ways. We can walk after Him. We can serve Him. Friend, He fulfilled everything that the law was leading up to. I'm thankful today for the day of Pentecost. And I'm so glad that it has fully come. It's still happening today. It's still going on in this hour. Oh, that you'll have people tell you it's only for a select few. Everybody don't get that. We all get the Spirit when we say we believe. There's no Bible for that. The Scripture says these signs would follow them that believe, that they would speak with new tongues, but they don't speak with new tongues till they're filled with the Spirit, because it's the Spirit of God that gives utterance. You don't think before that day of Pentecost came, you don't think Peter was a believer? That John wasn't a believer? That his mother that was in that upper room wasn't a believer? Peter walked on water. They had cast out devils. Mary Magdalene had many devils cast out of her. Was she not a believer? But He said, go and tarry. Go and wait. Go wait for the promise, because you've seen all this, you've heard all this, and it's good, but you're not where you need to be yet. There's something else coming. It's not fully come yet. When Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, that part of it was finished. The death was finished. The sacrifice was finished. But the new birth was still waiting. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 15, people were taken aback by what was happening. These men are drunk. But Peter said, they are not drunken as you suppose. It's only the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It's happening. It was prophesied. It was in the dark. We didn't understand what it meant. We heard it preached to us and read to us on the Sabbath days in the synagogue. We heard this scripture over and over again, but this is the fulfilling of that scripture. This is that but the prophet Joel spoke. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show signs in heaven above, signs in earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor, or smoke. The sun will be turned into blood before, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There was no chance to be saved under this new covenant without this day of Pentecost fully happening. That's what Joel was talking about, and that's why Paul wrote that in his letters. That's why Peter mentioned it, because he was preaching under the unction of the Holy Ghost. He was preaching nothing but truth to them that day. This is the way to be saved. This is that the prophet Joel spoke, and this is still that. There's nothing that needs to be taken away from it, and there's nothing that needs to be added to it. The world has subtracted obedience to the gospel today and substituted it with only belief. But we must not only believe the gospel, we must obey the gospel if we're going to be saved. I didn't come here today to simply remember that was that. I was meant to experience this is still that. Pentecost fully came, and now all flesh has the opportunity to receive the promise, the power to obey the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. I said it already, the 120 in that upper room, in that prayer meeting, were not unbelievers. They were his closest people. They walked with him, the 12, the 11 that were there, and the women that had followed him in ministry, and they were there. They'd seen the signs, the wonders, the miracles. They believed he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thomas had seen him and said, "My Lord and my God," and declared who he was. Jesus opened their understanding. It says in Luke 24, he opens their understanding and begins to tell them things as the resurrected Christ. Their faith is strengthened. They get instructions to go preach repentance and remission of sins. They're instructed. They got their marching orders from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but that wasn't all they needed. So Jesus said, "Wait." Luke 24 and 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." I'm glad they did the waiting, because now we don't have to wait. I don't have to tarry somewhere for days waiting on the Holy Ghost. Yeah? They did the waiting for us. They went and tarried and they waited, and the promise was poured out, and it's still being poured out on you and I today. Come on, somebody. Seeing, hearing, believing was not enough. They needed the promise of the Father so they could be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what Pentecost shows us. That revelation, and they had revelation, is not enough without regeneration. Knowledge is not enough without an infilling. And belief is not complete until it responds in obedience to the gospel. It is so much more than a spiritual experience. It is the fulfillment of everything that Jesus came to establish. It is the doorway into the new covenant. The Spirit of Christ dwelling in us. Us receiving what Adam lost. What Adam lost in the garden through his disobedience. Through obedience to the gospel, now we receive what he lost, the Spirit of God, the fellowship of God inside of us. And because of Pentecost, we can have new life. We can be born again. John 3 and 5 says that Jesus told them there, "You must be born of water and of the Spirit, or you cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Water and Spirit, baptism and infilling of the Holy Ghost. You cannot enter into the kingdom by administration, by admiration, through belief, or mental assertion. It only comes through the new birth. And the new birth was revealed at Pentecost. When Peter comes to the conclusion of his message, and he tells them, "This same Jesus that you have crucified is both Lord and Christ." He said, "Know this, O house of Israel. Know this, God's people, that because of this crucified Savior, the one you crucified, he is the Lord and he's Christ." It says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Friend, when we come to that belief in the crucified Savior, when we believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for our sins, when we believe that he was buried and rose from the dead on the third day, it ought to do something to our heart. When we realize that he went to the cross. I wasn't there crying out, crucify him, crucify him. But he went to the cross for me. And when I realized that this Christ, this great God, this that wrapped himself in flesh, when he went to the cross for me, when he gave his life so I could live again, it did something to my heart. And I said, what do I have to do? And the answer is still the same, because the day of Pentecost had fully come. Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you. He's telling the mother of Jesus, be baptized in the name of your son, because she's there. He's telling Mary Magdalene, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. John, I know you're the beloved. I know you put your head on his chest and you're close to him. He loves you. And I know what he told you at the cross. Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. I know what he told. I know what he gave you. But John, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall, then he's talking to, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Still calling, still calling, still calling people today. People, there was 120 there that had been filled, and now they had to be baptized. Just like at Cornelius' house, there were those that were filled with the Spirit, but they still had to be baptized to complete that new birth. You want the new birth to fully come. It was not Peter's opinion. He was not preaching from his notes. He was preaching as the Spirit of God gave him the words. This message was heaven's response to mankind. This was heaven's response to that group that was tarrying in Jerusalem. This was heaven's response to the feast of harvest, to this feast of weeks, to this feast of Pentecost. Jesus had spent 40 days preparing them to preach this message. And now Pentecost has fully come. There's no other methods, no other paths, no other doctrines. They may be steps of faith, but unless they lead you to the water in Jesus' name, and unless they lead you to being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you utterance, that's what they are. They are steps of faith, and they are to be valued because it can get you somewhere. But if you stop short of the promise, people are always looking for something more. This is the more that you're looking for. I remember being without God. I remember before I served God, wondering, what am I missing? When I heard this message, when I felt God move on me, I knew this is the more that I'm looking for. This is something that would complete me. The Bible says we are complete in Him. It's the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Him that lives in us. We won't be complete without the Spirit of God, and we won't be complete without His name remitting our sins. The only way to be completely forgiven is to be baptized in His name. The only way to be completely His is to have His Spirit dwelling inside of us. That's how we are complete in Him. We don't do it because of emotion. We don't do it because of feeling. We do it because it is faith and obedience in the settled, unchanging Word of God. The world will tell you, that's works. You're trying to be saved by works. I'm trying to be saved by faith. Faith in the Word of God. And obedience is not my works. But the Scripture says it, Pastor. Where by grace through faith are you saved. Not by works of our hand. Well, new birth is not a work of my hand. So obeying the new birth is not a work of my hand. I'm obeying the Scripture. I didn't create a way to be saved. I didn't create salvation or baptism or being filled with the Holy Ghost. That comes from God. The new birth is from heaven. It's not the works of your hands when you are baptized for salvation. That's the work of God. He that believeth and is baptized, Jesus said, would be saved. That's God. So don't let nobody trip you up on that. You have heard the scripture today. You have heard what God's word says today. To repent and be baptized. Have your sins remitted. Say goodbye to yesterday. Start with a clean slate. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Become His. Pentecost gives us this time to search ourselves, to lay aside doubt, to lay aside tradition, to lay aside anything that has kept us from fully obeying the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. The gospel is the death, repentance, burial, baptism, resurrection, Holy Ghost. So it's time. Let's stand together this morning. And for just a moment, I want us to just lift our hands across the room and just begin to pray for a moment. This is a time to experience Pentecost. And as you're praying, I want you to be thinking about this, these words that you've heard. This is God's word. It's the scripture. If you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, I want you to pray. And I want you to respond in faith to the gospel today. If you believe that He is the Son of God that died for your sins and rose from the dead, if you believe that, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So let's lift our hands across this room and ask God to search us. Search your heart. This is a time for you to search yourself, to repent. If there's anything going on in your life that's not right, repent of it right now. Repent deeply and prepare yourself. If you haven't been buried in water, baptized in Jesus' name, if you haven't done that, prepare your heart right now for baptism and say, God, give me a hunger for the infilling of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.